Hello, and I'm Kyle Menzies.
And I'm Jason Rutherford, the creator of the Online Army Showcase. And finally, the Daishi has returned its all its glory to the battlefield. But will Solaris 7 return MechWarrior to all its glory? Find out as we review MechWarrior Solaris 7 by WizKids in this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield! All right, everyone, welcome to episode 18 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Online Army Showcase at army.rocklesoftware.com. And finally, as promised, we're going to do a full review of Solaris 7, the latest, I guess, version of MechWarrior that WizKids has released. And I remember, what was it, episode 13, I think we did the review of Star Wars Pocket Model. We're going to do kind of a similar review format of that. But remember, we had we kind of have a pseudo 5-point scale here, because... Well, you know, as I mentioned before, I think kind of the 5-10 point scales that a lot of places do are kind of ridiculous.
Do we need to review our scales?
Yes,
for
I
our
think
audience?
We do.
All right, our top one, you know, for the ultimate, board game
awesome
slash
game, yep.
Yep, is Euphoria. You know, yep. The greatest feeling a person can have.
We'll let you decide what that feels like to you. So, next one.
We got a good time. Everyone's willing to play at least a few times during the week. Whenever they can.
Definitely a good board game to go out and buy.
Yeah, exactly.
At least give it a try.
Worth your money. Mm-hmm. Kind of tired, willing to play a few times, not consistently, only maybe when you're bored.
So what you feel like after you come home from work, I can't do this much longer. No, yeah.
You mean your job?
Nah, it's not that. Well, I know for the comment on that topic at this time.
All right.
You get the idea. It's whatever you happen to, you kind of have to do, but you don't always want to do it. That's kind of the idea of getting kind of tired.
And why don't you go over the last two?
Oh, my favorite one. Second to the bottom, you've got kind of like, I feel sick to your stomach. I mean, last time I ragged on Taco Bell, and I'll probably do it again this time. Because Taco Bell makes me sick to my stomach. I don't know, some people can eat that stuff, and some people actually love it, but I don't. So
The idea is high-quality, chemical-grade D meat.
Well, that's what I've been told. We can't verify that. But
well, probably not now.
The rumors have it, but
It still tastes good.
Kind of a mild pain that you can kind of play through, but if you can avoid it, you don't want to get yourself in that situation. And the bottom scale, the best of it all, is a swing back kick in the crotch. It's so painful. You'd rather be just repeatedly kicked in the crotch than play the game. So,
well, let's see which one we will vote on for today.
We'll see. So, normally we start off with our little first impressions of the game, like when we first saw the game and see how everything went, but we've basically talked about this previews-wise quite a bit, even last time we did the preview episode of Solaris 7, so...
Don't really need to go into that too much.
I think we've already got our first impressions down. So let's kind of just dive in here. Well, we got 7 in front of us. I have both the medium action pack and the assault action pack here. They're the only two that my local store had. So, I mean, as you probably already know, they come obviously in 4 weight classes, light, medium, heavy, and assault. Each one comes with some mechs, some pilots, a few oddball little token things. And basically, in theory, everything you need to get started playing Solaris 7, except the dice, which I'll talk about a little bit later. So, what we're going to do is just play a couple turns here, not nearly a full game, just give you an idea of what kind of actions and how the gameplay kind of plays out here in Solaris 7. So we've got 2 medium mechs out in front of me. I've got the Gravedigger, and who do you got out there?
I have Avalon.
Avalon, the Eisenfaust?
Eisenfaust.
Whoops, that's me wrecking the table again. So, fortunately nothing serious happened.
Yeah.
So how the gameplay starts off is each turn you roll for initiative. You get 2d6, so get your dice out. And each player roll. 9. 9. Re-roll. 5. 7. Okay. So now normally you go lowest person goes first, the highest person goes last. Though the highest player has an interesting ability where if they want to, they can make their initiative be 1, and therefore they're the first person who's going to go first. So, do you want to go first or last?
You can go first.
I'll go first. So, movement is basically, it's on a hex grid here, so movement is per hex basis, and each hex has a base cost of 2. If there's any special terrain, that may add to your movement costs. So, with my pilot and everything, I have a movement of 8 with this guy. So I'm going to go ahead and just come out essentially 4 hexes, 2, 4, 6, 8, and sit in the water, which gives you the benefit of being cooled down. So
And I will move mine. You can move up to 9 and go 2, 4, or would that be a 3? Because it's in the...
I think it's 3 only would count because there's a little green dot in this hex.
Okay.
Because basically the terrain has little squares, have little dots. The hex have little dots represent terrain, but it's also boundary lines. So we play where essentially you got to move on to a hex that has a little dot to add any modifier bonus.
Okay. So that'd be 4, 4, 6, and 8.
Okay, so basically you're doing a little standoff here. So now we come to the combat phase of the turn, where you can either basically either fire a weapon, close combat. There's a few other special actions you can do to basically increase your attack or defense. Or you can also do an assault order, where you can do half your movement and fire if you want to get a close in a little bit quicker on your opponents. But I don't need to do that, so I'm just going to straight up shoot you. And I'm going to be using my secondary weapons. Wait, let's see here. I got 1, 2, 3, 4. So I got to... Wait, oh no, 1, 2, 3. I only have a range of 3. Oh, this blows. So how range works is you don't count hexes, you count hex sides. And you gotta count the shortest path. And I got only 3 hexes between myself and Kyle, which means I can't use my ballistic weapons, which means I have to use my energy weapons, but he has reflective armor. So I'll have rather minimum damage, but I'm gonna try to take a shot anyway.
My defense is at 23.
Okay, so it's just like normal defense in mech war. You have a pilot and you have a base defense, add them together. And terrain may increase or decrease your defense depending on what you're doing. And I've got my attack of 9 plus 1 for the pilot, 10. So 10 out of 23.
Gotta roll 13.
A whopping 13. And I blew the shot. I rolled a 9. So I missed. And I've indicated I'm taking 1 heat at the end of the turn. So go ahead.
And I will use my secondary weapons. Fire upon you.
I have a defense of 22.
I got attack of 11, I believe. 11?
Yeah, 2 and a 9.
Oh, 2, actually, no. I'm sorry, my defense was 22, but you still missed.
Still missed, oops.
My attack is a 12. I mixed up the...
Wow, okay.
I mixed up the order. So
12 on a 22, then?
Got roll 10.
That's a good stack against me. That looks like a solid hit.
So that's 4 damage, no special armor piercing or anything.
All right.
So
and I have heavy armor, so I take 3 damage, but I don't take it immediately. I'd indicate with a damage die that I've taken 3 damage this turn. And it's at the end of the turn that you would actually take damage.
But in this case, it is the end since of the turn. We're only 2 people.
So end of the turn now, you go to the cleanup phase, where if you accrued any heat, you take a heat effects.
And I took 1.
And I took 1. I'm in water, so I'm going to cool down 1. I take my 3 damage. 1, 2, 3. Which quickly leaves me at a rather disadvantage. So let's just play one more quick turn here. Clear my damage and status dice. Oh, 2 dice for initiative. 5?
8.
Okay, so what do you want to do? Me first or you first?
You can go first.
Surprise, surprise. And I'm going to go ahead and try to get him in close combat. 2, 4, 6. We're going to... go around the side there.
And I can...
You can free spin, yep.
Free spin.
Just like normal MechWarrior rules. Now, one interesting thing to note about when you're in close combat here, because you count hex sides between the units, there's 0 hex sides here. So originally in MechWarrior, normal MechWarrior rules, if you had a 2-inch minimum range weapon, you could still fire it in base-to-base contact with mechs. You can't do that anymore. So that definitely changes the dynamics of ranged weapons a little bit.
Will try to break away.
Okay. And you fail.
Fail. Okay.
Okay, so we're locked here in close combat. Okay. And I'm going to go ahead and... I get to attack first, just as I... Because I'm obviously lost the initiative. So it's going to be 1 heat at the end of the round. And I'm going to use my close combat. I now only have a 9 attack on your 22 defense, you said? Is what you meant to me? Okay, so now I got to really roll 13. And that would be a 13. So you take 3 damage. Indicate that with a little damage die behind your guy.
Okay, and I will come back. I got 12 attack.
I have a 21 defense now.
Got to roll 9. And that's definitely
a hit. Oh, jeez, I got railed on. How much damage? Another
3.
So, with that, that's basically how the game would progress until one person is destroyed. There's one other option you can play with, these little target tokens, which I forgot to bring out when we were playing it. But they basically pop up on the battlefield. You can earn more points for shooting them. Nothing fancy, just kind of a little bit extra kind of stuff you can play with.
Okay.
So turn sequence is pretty simple. It's definitely not a terribly complex game. So with that, we're going to move to our next phase of the review and the biggest portion of the review, and let me get a pen. So, as I walk off here, I keep talking. What we're going to do here is we're going to go basically a point-by-point review of the aspects of the game, whether we liked them or whether we didn't like them. We've each got two cards in front of us to have fun with. There's the So Sweet card, which we'll slap down if we like the thing we're talking about. And you got the Haterade card, which you're going to slap down if you don't like what you're talking about. And if you really want to get gutsy, you can choose, okay, I'm going to be indifferent and not put down either card. That's the wussy.
And that's really being gutsy there.
That's the wussy cop-out. So you gotta really, we want you to really take a stand on these issues. So,
wow, this is politics.
It's politics, yes. I believe it was Stephen Colbert once said something along the lines, a centralist is just a person who doesn't have enough guts to be an extremist. So keep that in mind here. So what we're going to do is, let's have Kyle start first and have him name off a topic.
Oh.
And then say whether he likes it or doesn't like it. And then I'll say whether I like it or not like it. And then for up to 2 minutes, we'll have a discussion about why we came to those conclusions. So pick a topic and what is it? What do you want to do?
We'll start with the hexagon squares.
Okay.
I actually think it's an improvement upon, you know, the original game, you know, Dark Age, where this limits the complexities of, hey, that ruler needs to be
very much so, yep.
15, but it is, and all that fighting that goes on, bickering over stupidity like that. So, I mean, that's basically my point on that. So, I'm going to give it a so hot.
I have to agree with you on that one also. I definitely say it speeds, like I said,
or so sweet, I mean.
So sweet, yep. Definitely speeds up gameplay quite a bit and does eliminate those stupid things where you have to go, like, you know, oh, am I 12 inches away from you now? Okay, I'm going to fudge a little bit. You know, like, our old Battlemaster used to say, in miniature games, you could cheat a little bit because, you know, you could be off by 1/4 inch sometimes and still kind of fudge your way in a range or whatnot. There's a little bit of quirkiness with the hexes and the fact that essentially it's converting the game from a miniature game to a hex game, like the 2 movement per hex instead of 1. And the goofy kind of, you have to measure the hex sides, which is a little bit quirky, but
it limits the, you know, it doesn't give you any, flexibility of,
yes.
being able to fire farther than you can or move farther.
Mm-hmm. So, hex side measurement's a little unconventional, but you get used to it. It's not terribly challenging. So, I'd say it's definitely a improvement over the game. So, anything else you got on that topic?
I'm pretty set on that one.
All right. Let's go ahead with our next one. I'm up. So let's see. Well, I don't want to start on make this seem like I'm going to have a very negative review, but I'm going to pull out one of my little minor gripes right at the start since we're talking about the maps. You can pull out the Haterade card here. Just on the whole, what I'd say, lack of maps. There's basically one map per action pack. Plus, if you get all 4, there's a double side here on the back that you can basically combine all 4 to be one mega huge map. And the individual maps are not that big. You really can't have more than 3 people on them before they become really too crowded. Or, I mean, 3 people on a side. We did that.
Yeah.
It was kind of crowded. But so, I'd like to see more maps. If they sold a map pack individually, that'd be awesome. So,
I mean, we could possibly make our own, you know, design our own maps. And
I will do that at some point.
Oh,
Some people already are.
So, I mean, because with the lack, I definitely, you know, think I will agree with you on even this one, the Haterade. Because, you know, this is just seems so basic of a map, you know, what you see in any everyday, you know, normal game that we played at, you know, back in the day.
Because I remember, like, back in the day, classic Battletech, they had, like, 4 or 5 map packs you could buy that had, like, 10 maps each in them.
But I mean, like, not the hexagon ones, but remember those basic maps back at, where we played Dark Age?
Okay, yeah.
You know how basic those maps were, and I didn't like those ever.
But yeah, so that's one few downsides about going to the hex side map, is you gotta have maps. Like, you know, the one thing that miniatures did have advantage. You could set the battlefield anywhere, but
yeah,
you do lose that with this game. So it's a gripe, but it's a relatively minor one, I think. So,
the next topic.
All right, next topic. What do you want to pull out next?
I'll pull out with where it has, you know, with the full turn, where one part is, you know, movement, and then the next part is combat. I think it's a, you know, improvement upon the, you know, Dark Age, you know, where you would just move or shoot. but I still think it's quite lacking.
Really?
Really, yeah, because you know what? You just move up, you move up, fire, fire. Mm-hmm. You know, it's still, you know, I like the movement and shooting, you know, where you actually, you know, and then you took, you know, sure, damage at the end of the turn,
mm-hmm.
but it allowed for, you know, a lot more strategy, I believed, you know, to be played. Whereas, you know, with the individual movements, we were pretty much limited to, oh, okay, who's going to hit the other person first? Or, you know, because we all would move, we'd both move the same way. Unless we had more people to play with us where, you know, more strategy would be involved, we pretty much showed that there was a very limit, you know, to ness and strategy based on that.
So you like the new turn sequence or you don't like it?
I think it's an improvement, but I still hate it overall.
Oh, that's not good. I'm going to have to completely disagree with you on that. I like the new turn sequence so much better. Because, you know, I've ranted plenty of times before, why can't guys move and friggin' shoot? I've done that time and time again. I was even worried about the new Halo game coming out, that the Master Chief wasn't going to move and shoot, but they are going to be, there's move and shoot rules in that game. The new turn format is like classic Battletech Lite. I love classic Battletech. I know people out there will throw a fit because the game plays similar to classic Battletech, but I like it.
I still like our way we've had it before.
Where you move, shoot. And then you shot immediately?
Yes.
And then damage was done immediately?
Did we do damage immediately?
Yeah. Oh, wait, no, we didn't.
No, we didn't. No. But, I mean, still, it caused a little bit more strategy, I believe.
All right, well, 2 minutes. I have to disagree with you on that one, but that's right. That's what we're here for. So let's go ahead. Oh, well, what should I pull out and talk about next?
A giant monkey?
Ooh, I'm trying to think what I want to talk about next. Why don't I talk about... Okay, we'll get my one last gripe out of the way. Well, actually, I have two more gripes total. This is
you have a lot of gripes today. A lot more than me.
Maybe, but I
mean, that's really hard to come by, too.
Okay, well, all right. We'll go... This one's another kind of minor one because it's probably something that's related to me, specifically my medium assault or medium action pack, as they call it. Hater raid cards coming down because the figure quality is just horrendous.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about ugly paint jobs. I've mentioned in my preview, I mentioned that I thought it was kind of a fugly pack. Except, whereas you don't like the Avalon, I like the Avalon, Isaac Foss.
Well, I don't like the paint job on it. I like the design of the Avalon. I don't like the paint job. The paint job just seems way too plastic. Mm-hmm. You know how, you know, little toys were back mm-hmm. in, like, early 90s, late 80s, where it's just a bit blah. You know, like on this one. The only one I thought they did a great paint job on
Centurion?
Was... Yes, the Centurion.
Okay, but I'm not talking about paint jobs. I'm talking about figure quality and production quality.
Well, there's no improvement on that.
Okay, because of the 6 max in the medium pack, let's say count, 2 of them have arms that fell off. So there's two errors per 2 max. At least one of them has a misaligned heat dial, where if you basically, when you click the heat dial on the right spot, or maybe, I think it's 2 of them have the misaligned heat dial. Here, hand me the Violator over there. He's got it. Where basically, you know, if you click the heat dial into its spot, you can't read, you don't know which heat dial spot you're on. So there's another one. At least one, or 2 of my figures, like him, have a misaligned damage dial. Or when it's clicked in spot here, you can't read the stats.
Remember, that was my Seiko Ward.
Yeah. So the Seiko Ward of the problem too, your figure?
Yeah, remember? And then at the end of her dial, she had no stats.
Yeah. That was just, oops. And then we get to the gear cards. There's 6 gear cards, but one of them is for a light mech in a medium, in a pack of all medium mechs.
I think they're trying to force you to buy the light pack.
I think they just screwed up. But that's actually, that particular error is across the entire production run. And also, the box instruction manual says it comes with dice, but there's no dice in the box. So, okay.
What did that have to do with the figures, though?
Well, that was just production quality overall.
Oh, you're talking about the production quality overall.
Figure quality or production quality.
Okay, I will have to completely agree with you 100% on that.
So, as a last little note, I will say that the assault pack came out pretty good. So, I think it's just I just got a bum pack, probably.
You know where this is made, right?
Yeah, China. I know. I've griped about that in the past. I'm not going to go down that line again.
All right. Just making sure.
Okay. You want to pick something out?
What else is there to say? there isn't too much more. I think it's probably a lack of, you know, jump jet mechs, actually.
Lack of jump jet mechs?
All these packs. I mean, unless I haven't seen the heavy or the...
Yeah, I don't know.
Light. Because, you know, being able to, you know... And most of these, you know, except for a couple, are completely hideously and ugly.
Okay, well...
But, I mean, there isn't too much else, though, you know, to really say. I mean, I don't really have another actual exact topic I could name off.
I got a few more.
Of course you do.
As I keep going there, I keep saying I don't have any more gripes, I have no more gripes, and I keep thinking about one. So I'm trying to think about something that's really positive, because my big positive was a new turn sequence and the hex-based system.
What about not needing to take another dial of heat? When you, remember, was it when you moved you took a heat?
Oh, you're right. Big time. Here, we got, that's a big time thing coming out. I forgot about that one little rule change. So sweet. No more taking heat when you walked. It was ridiculous. The idea that a frickin' battle mech could actually walk along just normal temperatures and shut down. That's gone. That's such an awesome move, WizKids. Excellent little rule change that just makes the game much more aligned with the universe, and just things just make much, much more sense.
I noticed these heat dials, they don't shut down as much either.
The dials are actually kind of unique. They're actually more Solaris style, like you said.
Yeah.
They're a little bit better heat dials. And actually, the damage dials are even better. Some of them have no salvage, and... Like, this guy has no salvage.
Yeah.
And a lot of them only have maybe one or two clicks of salvage. And, like, a lot of mechs have four or five and really drain their life.
Yeah.
Could make them interesting taking them back into the actual mech warrior world and see what you do with them.
Absolutely. So, what was another gripe you had?
Okay, another gripe I had. Let's see here. I'm trying to think which one I want to pull out.
The one with the giant monkey.
You love the giant monkeys, don't you? Okay, here's the one. The other next kind of gripe I had was pertaining to the recommended style of play. Which the recommended style of play for this game is one mech versus one mech. And one mech versus one mech, I'm sorry, is just completely lame.
And I will 100% agree with you.
And here's why I say that it's completely lame. Because... all these games in general, not just MechWarrior, but Warhammer, War Machine, basically any game that involves dice, no matter how good your strategy is, it comes down to the fact, if you roll crappy rolls, you're going to lose.
Oh, absolutely.
That's my one thing, like chess, for example, is probably still the ultimate strategy game, because your victory or defeat depends purely on skill and how you respond to your opponent's movements. Here, I can make the most perfect, awesome movements and just outflank you all the time. But if I roll crappy, I'm still going to lose. So the reason what that has to all do with one-on-one combat is in the one-on-one combat, it's only going to last maybe 5 or 6 rounds before someone is destroyed. So you really only got about 5 or 6 rolls that you have to make. And unfortunately, a lot of the rolls, like we, as we're playing the game, like you got to get 11s, 12s, 13s. Even sometimes 14s or 15s, you get damaged. So your strategy almost comes down to praying that you're going to roll a nice high number. And
you haven't been doing that lately.
No, I haven't. And that's the terrible strategy. When your strategy is relying on rolling a high number, that's just bad strategy.
And you won't be able to get behind them and get the extra bonus.
So, I mean, if you blow two or three crappy rolls, you're going to lose.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's why I don't like the one-on-one combat with it.
That's why we tried to design the one where we have 3-on-3.
Yep, a couple more.
You know, where we actually only can move and shoot, you know, two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Where it leaves a, you know, third one, you know, in place still, you know, can use. And that turned out a lot more fun, didn't it?
I think so. So let me actually go ahead, and that's the next kind of topic. We're going to get off the negative bandwagon here.
You've been a lot more on it than I have today. I mean, honestly, like for...
No, I think you actually have more at the moment.
Really? I meant more.
Just the turn sequence thing.
Okay.
So... Let's go ahead, and I'm going to turn this
thing
around.
Well, you're the one who's bringing up the gripes.
Yeah, I'm the one who keeps bringing up the gripes. Let's put on a So Sweet card. Why? Because the game's really expandable. It's a very basic set of rules to play the game with, and you can do a whole heck of a lot to make the game a lot better.
And you know I have plenty of ideas whether or not I actually, you know, implore them.
I want you to go ahead and implement them and do stuff with them. Like you're saying, we're talking about the three mech team battle.
Absolutely.
That was a much more improvement over the one-on-one battle, just for the fact that, besides the extra strategy that, you know, more teammates get.
And then the luck is
more
decreased.
Dice rolls, so you have less, a few crappy rolls and not going to hurt you as bad in that kind of game.
Absolutely,
situation.
And I completely agree with this. So sweet. And, you know, there's so many other things we can do. Like back in the unofficial Solaris 7?
Unofficial Solaris 7.
Where you actually had our own pilots and we could grow them and, you know, improve upon them with, you know, neat little, you know, abilities and tricks based on, you know, how many points we earned. And, you know, that made the game so much, you know, more fun because it was, hey, things are changing always.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's not going to be consistently the same. Which is something you always need for a game, especially like this, where, you know, if you're going to play one-on-one, you need something to change, you know, somewhere. Or otherwise, you're just going to be completely bored.
Mm. Yeah, other than just having the extra pilots, you know, campaign stuff, newer scenarios, even, like, what I would love to do at some point here is actually make a map system like HeroScape uses, where, you know, you can assemble the tiles together and you get a totally cool map, cool arena, all sorts of fancy stuff, so...
Well, that's a new project for you.
So, yeah, simple rules. That's going to be after I finish with some other large projects.
Yeah, I don't think I need to really improve too much on those, you know, these rules. You know, that was one thing I definitely, you know, hated with the original Dark Age was... Oh.
The rules just blew chunks. Yeah, I
let's just say vomit probably tastes better than those rules.
If you never really watched those shows, you'd find we weren't a big fan of the original MechWarrior rules. But that's why I think they're definitely going some right steps in this game. So,
all right.
Let's see. What else do you want to? So, anything else you want to point out?
There's not much else that I can think of. You've been thinking about things a lot more than me today.
Let's see. Do I want to pull out another gripe right now? I mean,
or end on a good note, whichever way you're feeling.
Okay, we'll do another. Well, it's not really necessary. I'm trying to decide if it's really necessary to bring out or not. All right, I might as well bring it up. What the heck? It can't hurt to bring it up. We got a few more minutes for this section. Fortunately, hater raid card's coming out. Not a huge one. It's nothing to do with the gameplay or the game itself. It's kind of what... I don't know... It's more of an uncertainty kind of hate because I don't know what WizKids is going to do with this game. If they're going to keep supporting it real well. Like, there's only the 4 sets out. There's no other, like... dedicated Solaris Max. Of course, you can use all the original Dark Age, Age of Destruction Max. There's no more map packs coming out. I don't want us to see WizKids throw this game away. So it'd be the one hesitation I have telling people to really buy this game is that I'd have, you know, there's some talk at Gen Con, the recent gaming event that was like, when was that, last week or something, that there's another early Solaris pack coming out, but there's not a whole lot of official news from WizKids about that kind of stuff. So that's my one worry, is, you know, get people into this. It's a pretty good game.
It's a vast improvement on Dark Age itself, the original everything.
Very much a big improvement.
It's probably the only thing that can save MechWarrior at this point.
Yeah, the reality is you're probably right. So,
I have to completely agree with you, is that, you know, they need to...
Get their act together.
Yeah. You know, they're just being a bunch of giant monkeys right now.
Because the rule book's sitting over there. But there is something at least being advertised in the rule book. I don't know if it's for Solaris 7, but it says, like, what do you get when you cross an 80-ton mech with a zombie? Find out Halloween 2007. So there's something I think they're talking about the Gen Con. They're calling it the Deadlands. It's just going to be like... kind of a zombie, like obviously a group of guys that are kind of zombie or monster themed. That's how the guys are painted. They kind of look like they're rotting things. So I don't think it's going to be like a giant animated mech that's been taken over magically or something. It's going to be like a themed unit, hopefully. Boy.
Ooh. That was quite disgusting.
That was. I don't know. I think throat's getting dry.
So that's about it.
That's about it.
Yeah, I don't have any more gripes or, you know, compliments for this game. So, what do you think about this at the end?
All right, let's talk a little about what do you want to see happen to this game.
We talked
a little bit on the expandability part. But we want to go ahead and hear. Do you have anything you want to say, Emily?
Well, you know, there could be possibly even, you know, storylines, you know, create your own little campaign storyline if
awesome.
You really want to, you know. The, you know, go into the lives of these pilots even, and have books, like, you could have a huge series of Solaris. How much, you know, it's like Las Vegas, so there's gambling, lots of, you know, chaos, you know, people being threatened, you know, killed, you know, so much, you know, drama, you know, even behind the scenes, that, you know, it could make such, for such great stories, just even if it was separate from the actual series itself, could, you know, help market this even better.
Easily become a, what do you want to say? Easily become like an RPG, for example.
Yeah, even that, too.
That. Or this is just the battle portion RPG, and there's a whole other book set.
Yeah, you could...
A D20 system or something that you could use to,
you know,
interact with your character behind the scenes and what's going on. Like you're saying, all that fun
and then if you want to have your own pilot, too, you know what I mean? Use, you know, find a way, you know, you'll have to do lots of testing, obviously, to put into your mech. You know, you're, you know, based on things that actually happened, you know, training or whatever you do in RPG, going into the actual miniatures game, but you could actually, you know, make your character improve, you know, suck more, you know, whatever, you know, happens in your life, you know, affects the battlefield.
Yeah. That'd be kind of fun. Then you get ask your little wagers. People could try to kill you because you're getting too good or like...
Exactly.
For those, like, if you read the MechWarrior book, Wolf Hunters, it was... The whole portion was the one... Who was the guy who piloted the Black Hawk for the Steel Wolf?
It was Yuri Wolf.
Yuri Wolf, yeah. Because he got ticked off at Anastasia for a while and went and played the Slayer 7 games. So it's really cool. There's a whole second story to that about him just having messed around with the Slayer 7 games and ticking a lot of people off because his... Kind of the ways he did things was very unconventional to how the backdoor gambling gang style way to think everything was run is a lot of fun, so... I love to see it actually become a game aspect of it.
That'd be, you know, it'd help expand it a lot. I mean, I can see a lot of people wanting something like that. Maybe it's just me, though.
Well, both of us at least. There's at least two people out there that'd buy that if you did it. But I actually want to quickly go back, touch on the topic things. I forgot one more important one.
Is it really important?
Yeah, it really is.
Okay, all right. I'll allow this exception here.
It's kind of self-explanatory with how the packs are laid out. But I got to really give WizKids props for getting rid of the stupid boosters. So this is so sweet that you can see what you're getting in these box sets.
Do they change at all, though?
They don't.
See, that's the only thing is, you know, the reason with the boosters allowed for, you know, as much as they sucked, they did, completely, they allowed for, you know, you get more mechs, even though it was the only way at the time unless you bought the whole case. See, on like this, you got a limited amount. They're not going to change from the heavy pack.
Well, you're right.
You know, but, so, I mean, I like how they have it within, you know, everything's within, you know, the heavy packs, everything's heavy, you know, assault. I like that, but I wish there was, you know, more different mechs, you know, such a limit of mechs that, you know, yes, the booster set getting rid of it was, you know, great. I completely agree with that, but they need to get some more mechs out in there.
So, like, you know, like, these are the starter sets. Maybe if they came out with smaller packs or had, like, maybe two or three mechs that are part of one team that on Solaris you could buy.
Exactly.
So, you know, like you're saying, it'd be nice to have a little better choice. But I keep the fact that I want to know what I'm buying. I don't want to spend
more money. Absolutely.
And dump more stuff
that's
in a big box of crap.
That's why I completely agree with you that the boosters, you know.
So sweet, you're giving it.
They're gone, but they still need to work on a couple things.
Yes. More options is generally, in a game like this, is not a bad thing. Certainly, definitely not a bad thing. It'd be kind of cool to reprint, even if you just reprint some of the old mechs with the Age of
Destruction. I was quite surprised that there was no Atlas.
Yeah,
that's the one thing that I was quite surprised with. That's like the main like face of, you know, Solaris 7 in itself is, you know, the skull face Atlas, you know, king of the battlefield.
Well, whatever. It's always because it's how to do things. So.
Well, I'm just saying is that's what is generally represented. You know, from Solaris 7 is the Atlas.
All right, well, let's go back and touch on some of the things you like.
Atlas and Daishi with the three LBX Ultra Can 20s.
Guys fall over, but you know.
And yeah, that was fun.
So, well, let's go back to finish up a little bit on the things we wanted to see happen to the game. Like, you know, we're talking about the obviously RPG. Even if they just had like a campaign details where you can advance your pilot, much like the old Slayer 7 games, it would add a lot, just a whole other aspect of this game than just, okay, here's slap this guy and this guy and fight, okay, next guy.
Because that's going to get boring pretty quickly.
Yes. You need just differentiation things or even like, obviously, I've said it before.
You know, maybe even a possibility that, you know, you earn a certain amount of credits based on, you know, how much you do.
Have
a
money, money system to it?
Yeah, actual money system. That's how much you can repair your Mac or you can put into other things.
That would be cool, yeah.
You know, like, that may be a way to improve your pilot, you know, or your, if we actually could improve weapons somehow, you know, improve weapons. But in this case, as of right now, we need to work on that.
I'm all for, obviously, replacing the damage dials with more detailed, like, mini damage reads like War Machine has, which are, you know, the small, like, so a little more detailed, you can blast off arms and legs, but whenever I mention the forums, I usually get, ragged out for it.
That's going to be hard.
That's a radical change. It does kind of destroy the paradigm of how these games are supposed
to
be.
Well, I'm just saying is, in this case, you know, the fact of the matter is, it's kind of hard. You'd have to really, you know, go back to classic BattleTech, how, you know, things were done in.
Yeah,
you would. Unfortunately, you would have to have a separate sheet, maybe.
You'd have to have little cards like this.
Yeah,
it's the only way you could do it. So.
So I mean, it's something, you know. Maybe some people just don't want to have to keep track of it. It's a lot easier just to say, okay, click the dial, you know. But you know, it's a possibility.
It also helped. That also helped a little bit with the issues of, you know, you got to roll really good a few times to win the match when you're in the one-on-one situation. A little more dramatic when your arm gets blasted off and your large laser is crazy damaged, but that adds a lot more complex to the game. Whereas, you know, right now you could literally get a one-on-one game done in 15 minutes. If you really wanted to.
It only took us, what, maybe 45 to an hour for our 3-on-3, and that was a 3-on-3.
Oh, was it even that long?
May not. Was it 45 minutes?
Yeah, I thought about 45 minutes. Probably 45 minutes, yeah.
So, I mean, that's with 3-on-3, too. I mean.
So, another thing I would like to see is scenario packs. Like, you know, it'd be kind of cool if WizKids, even just like for free on the website, release different scenarios where you could, you know, where you just introduce different, you know, those new rules like we were doing with the 3-on-3, or I've got an online armor showcase right now, like a tag team rule. So, you know, like, in the wrestling match, where you tag out your opponents, you can,
that would actually be interesting.
Because the reason I like that it was kind of fun is because your guys can repair it a little bit when they're outside the arena. So you guys get damaged a little bit, you run them back, swap them.
Should we actually have a repair vehicle outside on the board and have to roll to repair?
No, the rules are a little bit different. Okay, than that.
See, you haven't told me about this.
I haven't told you about that. We didn't have time to play it last time. I think it's Sunday we're playing.
Oh yeah.
Next time we can. But each pilot gets a total of 6 repair points they can use throughout the game.
Oh, okay.
It's only a limited amount of repair, so they're really beaten up. And plus, you can't go past repair markers.
Well, obviously, repair vehicles can't do that either.
Yes.
That's why I was wondering if you could do that repair vehicle.
So it's not like you keep swapping guys out and always have a fresh guy. Eventually, they're going to get damaged to the point where they just can't be repaired. So basically, a war of attrition. But it's just kind of cool to give you some more tactical options.
So where could you leave the board to do that in tag team?
Whatever starting square you start on.
Okay.
So you have to run back on starting square and then another player would tag in. But the thing is, when they tag in, they basically stand there for a turn. So they can still fire that turn, but they have to stand there and basically take fire from anyone that was still shooting at them when they're running away and things. And
only have one person out of time.
Yes. That would be kind of funny, this kind of interference rules, like where a guy could pop in, take a shot, and run away or something. But
that might just become a little too angry.
Yeah, I get a little too angry. So let's go ahead. We're getting close to the end of the show now. Let's do our final thoughts and give our overall score of the game. Do you want to go first? Let me go first.
It doesn't matter.
Let's roll off. 3D6.
Roll 3D6.
10.
7.
Okay, I'm going to go first then. So here's what I have to say about the game. Traditionally, the WizKids games, I've not always been too thrilled about how they've been managed. Whether, like I said, you know, MechWarrior Dark Age, I kind of thought of it as, well, the way they addressed rule issues and fixes in the game, I never was very You know, I did not think they personally did a very good job of it. It's basically like...
In the way they tried to improve the game?
The way I describe it, basically, you're flying a plane, it's on fire, and slowly, it's obviously going to crash. But instead of trying to fix the situation and put the fire out, you're basically seeing how far I can get the plane before it smashes into the ground. Or, with, say, the Crimson Skies game, which is a rule set that I absolutely love. I thought it was an awesome game, but Whisk just didn't do a very good job of supporting it. Like, in that case, they had the plane, but there's no pilot in it, and they wonder why it's found in the ground and crashed. So, I really...
That's a pretty good analogy. I'll give you credit. That's pretty good.
So, in the case of Slayer 7, I like where they're going with the game. It's definitely got a lot of potential. It's got a lot of expandability. I really wanted to see it take this game further. More map packs, scenario packs, more smaller, like, a la carte max setups, like small teams, RPG rulebook, something, maybe even more advanced rules just to replace the damage dials. This game's got a lot of potential. It's fun to play, especially when you get more than just one-on-one going. So, overall, I'm going to have to do this game. I'm going to say this is a good game for good times. I really think this is a good game.
Right now? Yes. At this point in time?
At this point in time. I mean, maybe a year down the road, if they don't do anything else with it, you know, it's not even worth buying the game. But, you know, right now, I'd say at least go out, pick up one of the action packs. That's all you need to play the game. It's $30, so it's not terribly expensive. Give the game a try out, and chances are you will like it if you get more creative with the scenarios and things you have to do. Like, maybe try a capture the flag scenario or something kind of crazy like that. So, it's maybe a bit of a gamble, but I say it's good times. At least give the game a try. At least go to a local store and, you know, play it. If you don't drop the money on it, at least play the game and see if you like it. It's worth your time, I think.
Well, I might have to, you know, the way I looked at this game was that it was, you know, improvement, no doubt, upon Dark Age. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, which was a kick in the crotch, I mean, by itself. I mean, they have some... You know, great potential, but they've left it out with so much lacking right now. With, you know, limit, you know, what they've limited everything to.
That's what I'm kind of basing
so,
on.
You know,
come on, do something, WizKids. That's
you know, maps, you know, figures, you know, limit of pilots, limit of what you can do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just not, you know, enough for me, you know, personally, you know, as of right now. I need to expand upon that, you know, make my own changes, you know, if I didn't have to do that, you know, I would consider it a good time. But right now it's, you know, kind of tiring because I actually have to put in this effort to change the game around to fit what, you know, what I expect the possibilities are for this game. Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely, if you want to change around things, you know, make the game better, go out and buy it. It's got so much potential to, you know, make yourself life and so enjoyable just for, you know, an hour or so of this game. Give, you know, 3-4 people, and hey, there's lots of fun. People turning on each other, you know. You're teaming up on one guy, and then the other guy turns around and shoots you. I mean, just so much, you know, that can be improved upon that will make this game so much fun.
So I think it's kind of funny how that kind of reflects our initial attitudes about the game. Like, you know, you're kind of pessimistic about it. And in some ways, you can kind of see that with your review, how you're like, okay, WizKids left all this stuff out. It's, you know, it's really dragging the game down. Whereas I'm looking at it, I was kind of optimistic coming to this game. I'm like, WizKids left all this stuff out. We got a lot to build on. We have a lot of creativity and fun expanding on it, so.
Well, I mean, from, you know, basis of, you know, what the game is, it is.
Yes.
It's kind of tiring, I think. And what it can do is, you know, a good time.
Yes, I would agree with that, so. But fortunately, I still have to keep my review.
No, absolutely.
It's worth playing. Definitely get out there and buy it.
You know, you should always keep your opinion. I mean, that's absolutely right. I respect it. All right. That's about all we have today.
And any other last little notes or things you want to talk about? We got about 2 or 3 minutes here.
Well, you know, a giant monkey can fit in the box. You know, let's try, Poofus. You know, can you fit in this box, you giant monkey? No, you're an even bigger monkey than it can fit in the box.
That's enough. You
screw everything up in this, you know, the beginning.
All right, that's enough. I'm Jason at RoccoSoftware.com.
And I'm Kyle at RoccoSoftware.com.
So with that, thanks for watching. We'll see you again in about 2 weeks. Have a good night.
Copyright 2007, Rocco Software, licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License. MechWarrior, BattleTech, Mech, and WizKids are trademarks of WizKids Incorporated. The intro music, Down With Everything, is by The Transfer, was acquired from www.pazevaudio.com.